well done, Sean. Actual audio of KJ Osborne trying to call God and not getting an answer at the very beginning of that ELO song. It's a Bruins Thursday. Bruins are basically 500 to start this season. And we will talk to Mike Milbury about that and other things coming up at 9 this morning. Before that, though, at 8:45, for those of you who insist on saying that the Boston Red Sox are gouging their fans price-wise at Fenway, Wiggy is demanding a full apology based on something that he learned this morning. So we will get to that coming up at 8:45 this morning. Real quick, this is Edward. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Excellent.
I wanted to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks for listening. And more importantly, you are going to get to bring your hero to lunch with us on Friday, November 8th at the 110 Grill. Who are you bringing, Edward?
My brother, Joe.
And what branch?
He's in the Air Force. He's in the Air Force for 25 years. He retired from the Air Force. He was in all over the world, and he was in Iraq. He was in Kuwait. He was in a lot of locations.
Awesome.
Actually, it would have been my dad. My dad was a Marine in World War II, but unfortunately, he's not with us anymore.
Oh, but sorry about that.
Next best thing is my brother.
We cannot wait to meet your brother and to say thanks and to see everybody at Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill, and to see all of you, the rest of you, before that at the American Heritage Museum, which is in Hudson and in Stowe, on Friday, November 8th. And we will all say happy birthday to Joe Landry, our 100-year-old World War II veteran friend that we met at last year's Lunch with a Hero. All right, Chime, let's get back to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the dumb bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
The giant birthday card that we should get for Joe Landry, written in cursive. I just want to tell you that ahead of time. I don't want anybody to be triggered, but there might be some cursive there that you have to read that might say happy birthday, Joe. All right, what do you want to start with for They Said It Part 2 this morning, Chime?
Well, Greg, your Boston Celtics are back at it again tonight after dominating in their first game against the Knicks as they raised Banner 18 into the rafters. Well, Kendrick Perkins believes this team is going to be pretty special. Here's what Perk said about the Celtics.
This is one of the greatest offensive teams I've ever seen in my damn life. Real talk. I've never seen a team with this much offensive firepower, this much playmaking ability, this much talent on one squad that can make shots at the level that they can make shots. One of the greatest offensive teams I've ever seen.
Mm.
Wow.
You agree? I mean, certainly numbers-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They were, at times, the best offense ever in the history of the NBA last season.
Wasn't that Golden State team pretty good with KD, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, where they had, Iguodala. So, I mean, yeah, they're really good. They are really good when it comes. Because you think, look at the new NBA, hawking up threes. And so if you can do what they did the other night, what were they, 50% from behind the three-point?
Over,
60%? Like something crazy from the three-point line?
But they couldn't get that last one to beat the record.
They 61.
They missed 13 at the end of that game to try to get the record.
61 three-point attempts.
Honestly,
think about that.
I think the Olympic snub of Jason Tatum may have been the best thing that could have ever happened for this Celtics team.
And Joe Mazzulla going to then go talk to him, go fly to Paris to be with Jason Tatum during that. It just shows the bond that Joe Mazzulla has with these guys. That's,
he looks good.
I think the fact that he didn't get playing time, I think is giving him a little bit of fire. And I really honestly think this team is... They're unbeatable.
I'm with the truth, Paul Pierce. I think, and I've Jason Tatum, obviously American-born player in the NBA, but I think he's the best player in the NBA all around offensive skill set wise.
You and College Tom agree. College Tom told me this morning before the show that he thinks Jason Tatum is the number one player in the NBA, hands down.
Yep. Giannis can't do what he can
bold,
do.
That is a bold statement to make.
But you think about it, like, Giannis can't do what Tatum does, scoring-wise, his ability to shoot.
Well, they asked Giannis who the best player in the NBA was this week, and he said Jaylen Brown. Because he won the championship and he won the MVP of it. So
I mean, listen, Jaylen Brown, give him a lot of respect for it. He's talented, Courtney. I know you've been riding his bus for a long time, and we've all jumped on the bandwagon with you. But you know, they both have amazing skills, and I don't want to start the narrative like who you know alpha.
Please
this.
Don't.
But you know, Jason Tatum's skill set is just a little bit better. You know, and I'd be honest about that. And when you think about who the best players are in the NBA, you would say Luka can do a lot. The Joker, but I feel like skill-wise, offensively, Tatum...
Better than LeBron?
Yeah. LeBron is kind of like... LeBron's still a great player, don't get it twisted, but, you know, LeBron is not the same player that he once was. And Tatum is a better shooter than LeBron, even when LeBron was in his prime.
Yeah.
You know? So
Monty Mac in the Twitch chat says, oh my God, not the chip on their shoulder BS about the Olympics. Well, I don't know why. Why is that BS? I mean,
it's not BS.
People use things to motivate them. Yeah. I don't know why that's BS.
I'm really sorry this show's happening to you, Monty. Yeah.
And it's Tatum being slighted there, and it's Jaylen not getting the nod to go. So both of them have that chip on their shoulders. I think they've talked about that. Mm-hmm. I think that they've said that they've felt disrespected through this offseason when all the praise should have been at them.
Right. And so. I would go another step, not just Chip, and Wick said it, the confidence level that Tatum and Brown are playing with. I think now that the monkey of winning a championship is off their back, you could see that they're playing with a different confidence level, and that I would take even to the next step rather than just Chip on
and happy
shoulder.
Birthday to Jaylen Brown. It's birthday today.
Oh, excellent.
Right. OVO.
Yep. What is next, Shime?
Well, Greg, here's a nice little story for you. So one of the great players in New England Patriots history would be one Rob Gronkowski. He appeared on the Up and Adams show and explained just why his career was so legendary. Here was Rob Gronkowski.
That's what makes my career even more special, because back in the day when I was playing for New England, I was probably carried out, I would say, of a bar probably 5 to 10 times in my career while playing for the Patriots. And to be that drunk and then to go out and perform on the football field, you got to be a special talent to be able to do that. So it makes my career that much more legendary, that's for sure.
He's like the Lawrence Taylor when it comes to being drunk.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Probably needed 4 or 5 of your friends to carry you out if you're Gronk. I mean,
Wiggy, what do you always tell us?
Don't let your night job affect your day job. That is legendary status right there. Yeah. I mean, there's only 2 people that we know that can do that. One is Lawrence Taylor, and the other one is now Rob Gronkowski.
Is Gronk. Yes.
Is be completely getting carried out, and then the next day scoring 3 touchdowns and having 150 yards receiving. That is spectacular.
All right. What else, Sean?
Well, so one of the topics we bring up a lot on this program is NIL and NIL money. Well, Jamal Charles was recently on a podcast and was asked about how much NIL money he might make if he was in college right now. And he brought up Bijan Robinson, interestingly. And it was funny how much he believes Bijan Robinson would have made if he had stayed at Texas. This is what Jamal Charles said.
Jamal Charles was in school right now. What you think he pocketed?
If I played the way I played, I'd definitely be in the $1 million range as a running back. You know, they were trying to pay Bijan to stay another year. 5 million. You know, they were trying to drop him back. They was like, nah, we can't give it to you. You can just go ahead, bro. We can't. You can go ahead to the league, bro. We ain't gonna do you like.
I agree.
So far. What do you think of NIL in general? Has it been a positive or a negative when it comes to college sports?
I don't mind it. I mean, these coaches, think about how much these coaches are making. Kirby Smart makes $11 million a season to coach. And, you know, let's say Deion's making $5 million. You don't think Travis Hunter's worth? I mean, do you see what Travis Hunter said? You want me to come back, it's going to cost you $20 million.
I don't mind it for the players, but to Greg's point, for the game, has it been a positive or negative? I think that a lot of coaches would probably say it's turned into a negative.
Well, it's because it's become more difficult for coaches because there's more parity in the league. We've talked about this. Like, lesser teams can now be better, and I think that's a good thing for the overall sport. Right. Like, just because it makes those top-tier coaches' jobs a little bit more difficult doesn't mean that it's bad for the game.
When you say difficult, though, you could be a head coach and a guy agrees to come and play for you. You spend a ton of time recruiting him and gets there or doesn't even get there because he got a better offer somewhere else. I mean, it's...
Well, guess what? Give him a better offer.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you
pony up or get
out?
You
say that's what makes America great? Right? If I know based on like Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning, you don't think like based off the couple of games that Arch Manning is playing, you don't think teams are looking at him like, oh damn, we would give him a bag all day long. So Texas.
Well, doesn't that suck for the fans though?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, the same could be said for free agency. I'm sure it was better to be a Steeler fan in the 70s. You didn't lose Bradshaw or Mean Joe Green, but
or a Niners fan in the 80s, 90s.
Right, like, but to have the ability for players to maximize their earning potential is kind of capitalism.
And why don't you complain about a coach? Like, if Billy O's making $4 million and let's say Florida offers him $8 million to leave next year, you won't complain. You won't say, Billy, what about all the guys that you were going to be at Boston College for the next, 4 years, and now you're gone and they got to figure out something to do. I never hear people complaining about the coaches.
Yeah.
I do wish NIL was a bit more structured, but I think overall, like, it's a positive for the game.
You can never structure it because the problem becomes, like, and I brought up Travis Hunter. He can't be making the same amount as a guy who's not putting up the same type of production.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's the whole, like, we talk about the whole Title IX thing. It's, in college sports, football and basketball bring in money. So how can any other sport, even if it's, a female or not a female, how can the baseball players go, we want the same as the football players, or the girls' basketball team go, we want the same as the men's basketball? You just can't do it because some sports and players are on a different level when it comes to bringing in money. You think Caitlin Clark wasn't making more than all of the Iowa football players?
100% she was. Hey,
so
but you don't think it's going to go in the direction of a union and a college players union, and then they're going to demand the same amount of money for everybody that is playing in the game, whatever the game is?
You can't do it because you got a union in the NFL, right? And everybody doesn't get the same amount of money. That's what even the union helps you with maybe getting you certain things in the collective bargain agreement. But, I'm in the union. I don't go, well, guess what? I should be getting paid the same as Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Union, go fight for that. I mean,
a texter says that it's better because the better players are staying in school longer than they would have.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if Bijan Robinson had been convinced to stay at Texas. Like, that's another year of an awesome player being at the college football level. And we talk about college basketball. One of the best things about women's college basketball compared to men's is that the women are there for 4 years. And so you can build storylines and build rivalries where if guys are just one and done, like, you can't do that.
It's not the better players. It's the good players. Because, like, the great players, like a Travis Hunter, why would you stay at, we talked about, I think, with Caleb Williams last year, why would you stay in college for $10 million when you're going to be the first overall pick and you're going to be guaranteed $30 million? And then you're running the risk of getting hurt. Like, so college will never, so it'll keep a guy in that might be somebody who might be like a third or fourth round pick who says, all right, I'll stay in and make an extra $1 million. But it ain't going to keep Shador Sanders or Travis Hunter or Quinn Ewers in college.
So, I mean, if it's good for the college athlete, would you then believe that it's good eventually for the high school athlete coach?
I got no issues.
You have no problem with
that. If you're that good, and obviously your parents would have to do it because you're in high school and you might be 16 or 17.
It's also not really the great players when it comes to it's personality driven as well. Like the Cavender twins with Miami, they weren't the best women's basketball players out there, but they had a platform that got that that companies wanted to capitalize on. So they got massive NIL deals.
And I think women are a little bit different because women obviously have the ability to use their sex appeal to say what you can laugh all day
because men are perverts.
No, no, but yeah, but you can laugh all day long, right?
No, I saw the OnlyFans numbers, Greg.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the us as a sex. You're saying that the NIL money that goes to the Cavender twins is just because men are perverts.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I mean, look at the right. Would you agree with
that? Or Liv Dunn? Like everybody, I remember so many people the last Olympics were saying, "How is Livy Dunn not on the Olympic team?" And it's like she is not on the same level as these Olympians. She is just in your face all the time and making a ton of money because
her skill.
Men love her.
Her skill is not gymnastics.
Well, she's skilled.
It's being hot.
She's very good at gymnastics. She's in a very good program. Yeah. But
just be honest, like she's good. Like the Kavanaugh twins, they're solid basketball players, but because of their look, they utilize that to their skill set and they make more money doing that than, you know, somebody that's Aaliyah Boston, who's a way better in basketball.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, guys might be looking at her differently.
Okay. Speaking of the women's basketball WNBA, there's an upstart league that's trying to get Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not going to.
Would she leave the
WNBA? Yeah, I think she's not going to leave the WNBA. That upstart league is played in the winter. So it'll be like, rather than go overseas, you can play in the female version of the Big Three because it's Breonna Stewart and another NBA player that are kind of like the backing of it.
I don't think she'd do it.
Angel Reese is in it. I think there's a lot of WNBA players.
Yeah, I don't think Caitlin Clark would.
All right, we got to take a break. Wiggy wants an apology for those of you who continue to accuse the Red Sox of price gouging.
Mm.
You want a full apology.
I want a full apology.
Based on something you learned today. So we'll get to that next.